podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Yeah. you know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So keep out
by your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, along with MegaRockRadio.net. Then we go to the beaches of San Diego, California, on RootaRooRadio.com. Head across the border to the north to Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, with altrockradio.ca, then to the Highlands of Scotland on xrpradio.co.uk, the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania, right here on buildthescene.com/radio. I feel like I forgot somebody. I do have a new station coming up. As soon as I get that information, I'll let everybody know. That one is on the other side of Pennsylvania. But with all that said, this is episode number 626. The Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me are two members of the band Illusions of Grandeur. What's up, guys?
Hey, how's it going? What's up?
How are you?
At least you weren't laughing at me when I did that. The last interview was laughing at me, and I lost track.
No, it was good.
I'm impressed.
I was going to say that's what I was like, damn, you got a lot of people. That's awesome.
All our Scottish fan will be.
All our Scottish fan.
Yes, yes.
No, that's awesome, man.
Very cool. He and I like, he's in a band local to me. So we've hung out in person a lot, and I've seen him live a lot. So he gets a kick out of when we're live. I don't know why.
That's awesome. Right on. I love it.
But yeah, we are all over the place. Got European listeners now.
And, right on.
The website gets somewhere in the range of 300,000 hits a month.
Whoa,
and that's awesome, man.
And about 37,000 unique viewers.
Forget nice. Let's talk about you.
I was gonna say you're way more interesting.
You're way more.
I like your story.
So I was just giving you an idea of what you guys are in for.
It's awesome, you've been. Man.
So real quick, introduce yourselves for me, please.
Sure. I'm Maggie. I'm the siren, the singer and vocalist and melody writer for Illusions of Grandeur.
I'm CM. I'm the bassist, and I play Archangel in the Siren Saga, The Illusions of Grandeur show.
So, off the air, I asked you about the albums, and I'm going to let you guys, we're going to start there. It's a trilogy, you said? You want to explain the...
Well, yeah, we wrote, she and I were touring in a rock band back in 2014, and it was great, but it was kind of like just, get up there and play a show, kind of like, dirty the sheets, wash them, start again, clean tomorrow.
Someone else's music, too.
And it wasn't, yeah. And her voice was so unique that we decided we wanted to do something interesting. And with her theater background, and then I write very theatrical music. So we decided we wanted to do some theatrical metal, theatrical rock via like Alice Cooper, The Who, And so we decided. Not only just to do that, but to write a saga like Norse mythology and Greek mythology, which she is very deep into. Mm-hmm. So we wrote something called the Siren Saga. And all sagas traditionally in like folk lore and folk are told in three parts. So we decided to do three albums. One like introduces you to the characters and gets you into the story. And then two, I liken it to Star Wars. So it's kind of like, A New Hope. you know, Empire Strikes Back and then Return of the Jedi.
Right.
You don't get anything I'm saying, you'll get that. So right now we're in, you know, we're in oh my God, not, we're in the second one. My brain is.
We're in the Siren, the Siren. And the Underworld.
Yeah. So we started out with the Songs of the Siren, which came out on Pavement Entertainment in 2018. And in 2021, we signed the new record deal with a great label called Revulsion of Spirit Records, and they released the Siren. And we're touring that right now, and that's like our The Empire Strikes Back puts us in the worst possible situation in the underworld. It's the battle album, so when you come out and see us live, you're going to experience a very theatrical show. And we're currently in the studio right now beginning the framework for what will become The Siren Rises.
For those of you who are just listening to the radio or podcast version, they are literally sitting in the studio. So if you watch the video, you can see that they are actually there. So when he said we're in the studio, he meant it.
Yeah, we're in the studio. we're literally recording so often right now that we can't even do interviews. We just turn around. We're the board's right here and the recording gear and her ISO booth's over there, and it's that interviews and touring. So we're lucky and that's cool, but it's beats the hell out of you, let me tell you.
I want to say you guys were in the Pittsburgh area recently, weren't you?
We were there in January.
Yep, in January.
I can't remember where. What venue were you at?
I think that was the Subalpine, wasn't it?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. With Josh Montadoro.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love Josh. Wonderful human being.
He and I worked together under First Angel Media.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Very cool.
Great venue. They treated us great. The sound was great. The crowd was great.
So tell me a little bit about, since you're in the studio and you're recording currently, what's your recording process like? How's it go?
He writes a million songs, like a ton of songs, as like a framework. And then he'll give them all to me, usually through email. And I sit and listen and go through them and kind of decide which ones I'm going to put lyrics to.
It's kind of like watching your kids. She picks which ones get to grow up and become songs.
And then I'll put lyrics on it. And we normally do like a scratch vocal for the rest of the band. So once I put my scratch vocals on, then it goes out to the guys. So our drummer and our guitar player will then get it. And then they get to kind of put their twist on it or listen to it and see what they hear, what they like, what they don't like.
It's very modern.
Yeah, it is very modern.
I don't know if you've ever heard like how Rush recorded Roll the Bones or like Yes recorded. Like when I was a kid and you'd read in a magazine that nobody lives on the same continent, and you're like, how do they record? So modern technology has made life very cool and interesting for us where we can all work in our own studios and then assemble it here. Although Julian Yeager, our guitar player, is an amazing musician. He does usually come out here to York to the studio so he and I can sit and really work on the guitar tones and get it through the Neve and really build the track. But for the most part, we all kind of are off in our separate worlds and then we all put our stamp on it and it becomes the Illusions of Grandeur.
Very cool. That's this show, I'm literally sitting in my living room and I've recorded probably 99.9% of the 626 episodes right in this room.
That's awesome.
It's changed greatly. I used to have a big, it looked like an end table on wheels. It had my mixer in it. It had a headphone amp. It had a limiter gate. And now all I do is plug in a USB mic and a camera.
Right. Yeah. Technology, man.
You know, and that's the thing. We kind of I am an old school engineer. I grew up on tape. For kids that don't know what that is, they used to record things magnetically to tape and work on large format consoles like Neves and SSLs and MCI boards. And so when everything went what they call in the box, it's not a dirty term. It's about recording music on Pro Tools. In the computer, it was very shocking for me. And it was a large transition, right? And
yeah, no, it definitely was.
So the first album was done with very little outboard gear and it was just done in the box. So when I went to the second record, I felt the need to kind of bring back a little bit of the old school and get the analog. And then this record, as we move into it, we're getting a lot more analog. We're not back to tape yet. But
no, it's so expensive. I'm hoping for it. I love the saturation from tape, but it's so expensive.
But yeah, so it's really an interesting process because it's freeing too. It's really cool because we can create anything we want. It's as limitless as our imagination.
We have in Pittsburgh on Neville Island a studio. And of course I'm now going to blank on the name of it. Fault Records has a big Neve console. And Dave Hillis works out of there. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I know the name. I'm just not.
So he worked on a lot of the grunge albums that came out of Seattle.
Yeah. Like
Pearl Jam and
the Studio and X bands.
And
Bad Animal Studio, which I was lucky enough to spend a little time up there in the mid 90s. Just as it transferred out of Bad Animal into Studio X.
I interviewed him a few months ago. That was a fun one. Although I'm going to ask you guys this question, and I thought he was going to finally be my in. I have been trying to, through social media, gain Dave Grohl's attention and have him come on the show. And I thought for sure that Dave Hillis, who was in Grunge Central, where Nirvana was from, would be that in. And he was like, no, man, I never met him. And he's like, we played in this. He used to be in a signed band as well. I can't remember the name of his
Scream.
Band. Okay.
From DC, where she's from. Why don't you call Dave? Dave, can you come here?
He's definitely on my bucket list. That's for sure.
But so he was like, yeah, he said we played the same places, but I never met him. And I was like, I thought I was finally going to be in. But the question is this, who is your Dave Grohl? And what I mean by that is, what artist do you want to go up on stage with and perform one of their original songs? Because Dave brings people up out of the crowd all the time at Foo Fighters shows.
Can it be two?
Sure.
Jonathan Davis and Maria Brink. Taylor Momsen. I love Taylor Momsen too. Yeah, in order, yeah.
In that order. Like if they stood in line.
If I was lucky enough to stand in line.
I'm gonna say no joke, Dave Grohl.
Yeah, he's a huge Foo Fighters fan. So am I, definitely.
I was a big Scream fan. I got on the Nirvana train a little bit late, only because I lived in LA and I was more into NoFX and Bad Religion and Lagwagon and stuff at that time. Kind of leaned towards that, and I was in that scene a little bit. But yeah, I would, and I, you know what, I would really dig playing with Korn.
Yeah, me too.
And you know why? Because right now they need a bass player. and I play bass, and I don't feel that I can fill these shoes.
Some big shoes.
But I don't know. He's kind of short, so they might be. I don't know. But I think I could enjoy myself.
I still remember the first time that I heard Nirvana. I was on my parents' front porch, which at the time was my front porch. And my next door neighbor's grandson came over with a cassette. And again, that's that magnetic recording thing that he mentioned earlier.
Thank you.
And he's like, you have to listen to this. And he was right.
They had that reaction a lot. I was lucky enough to meet, it's not Butch Vig, but it's a guy who played in Garbage with him and worked with Garbage. And at the time, he was friends with him when he had Smart Sound in Massachusetts. And he's like, I was like, well, what's that like hanging out with like Butch Vig? And he's like, dude, he's like, I heard the first cassette, like when it came out of Sound City. And it was revolutionary. I remember the first song I heard from Nirvana was called Territorial Pissing. And I kind of went like, what the hell is this? But it was good. And I actually saw them live on South Street at J.C. Dobbs, July 11th, 1989.
I've not, well, clearly would not have seen them at this point, but I did not see them. I haven't even seen the Foo Fighters, which someday I'll kick myself over that.
I think you just missed, you might have missed that boat, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Although they may bring Nandy out. I mean, she's playing the shows, their shows that they're doing.
That's a lot for an 11-year-old, 3-hour shows.
I know. I have 2 12-year-olds at home that I can't keep their attention for 5 seconds.
Right. Although if she did that for a couple of years, I don't think she'd have to work again. So,
yeah. Yeah.
You guys are familiar with Robert Johnston, right? The blues artist.
Oh, yeah. No. Robert Johnston. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Crossroads.
Yes. So if you were standing at the crossroads waiting for the devil to arrive, what would you be there to sell your soul for?
Super personal, my children.
You'd sell your children?
Sell my soul for my children.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
children. That'd be weird.
I don't think there's anything else that I could really do that for.
Yeah, I'm thinking what he means is, like, what would you sell it for, like, for a gift? Oh, Robert Johnson traded his soul to be, like, the ultimate guitar player. And you know, consequently, kind of worked, because you're talking about him now.
Yes.
And there's a Ralph Macchio movie with Steve Vai in it about him.
I don't know. You can pick a fun one. But if, for my children, just
John Holmes. Like, no.
So they can do whatever they want in their life.
You do it so they can do it.
Yeah.
Getting the thread you're pulling.
Yeah.
You give your soul up.
Yeah, for my kids. So they could have whatever they want and be whatever they want.
I'd want to know what the NASDAQ is going to do next. Probably bass.
I bet it's going down.
I bet it is. Again, John Holmes. I started playing bass when I was 8, and I feel like I kind of sold my soul to music at that point. So to play bass.
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt for 1 second. Speaking of Josh, he's hanging out watching the
video.
Hey, man.
How are you?
We'll see you in September.
Oh, nice. You guys are coming back. What's the date on that one?
I have no idea.
Hold on. I think I have.
It's like one of the
list.
She has the master list. They just announced a lot of shows, all the way out to the end of September.
Oh, boy. Hold on. I got to find it. All right.
He says it's September 10th.
Oh, there you go.
He would know.
Thank you, Josh.
I know where I am right now.
Yeah, I don't know if you were on earlier, Josh, but we were talking about the January show they had out at the Subalpine.
Yes. What a gracious host you are. We love you.
And what a good guy, because we left our banner behind.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh.
And it was fun because we left it behind, and he was great. He sent it to us.
Right after a long conversation I had with Josh at the end of the night about people leaving stuff at the venue. And it was so funny. He's like, all right, like, you know, I'm going to get out of here or whatever. And
our banner is not small.
It's a huge banner.
It's 12 feet wide by 8 feet high. So, but what's funny is I was like, we left the banner, and Connor, one of our roadies, he's like, where did we leave it? And I'm looking at Facebook, and they played bingo at the Subalpine. And behind them calling bingo is Illusions of Grandeur banner.
Yeah.
I was like, that's awesome.
God. So I messaged Josh. I'm like, dude, I need
your
help.
You were gracious enough to send it.
Yes, he was. That is very gracious, too, because, you know, he sent it of his own, you know, free will, and obviously I had to pay him back. So he, you know, he went out on a limb for me, and I truly appreciate that.
Yeah. I have
a similar Josh story. I was supposed to go take photos of a band, and 2 days before I tested positive for COVID. So Jonna from First Angel Media was like, I'll go take the photos for you. And then she got stuck in traffic and Josh left the Subalpine, drove across town and started taking photos until Jonna got there.
That's amazing. So, yeah. See, what a gracious soul. He's such a good guy.
Good people.
Yeah.
We have a good story about playing the Subalpine.
Oh my God. We do have a crazy story about playing the Subalpine. So this guy is picking hotels, which he's never allowed to do again, for the record.
No, I'm not allowed to advance tours anymore.
Ever. We pulled up to the hotel and there was caution tape, police tape. And I said,
two doors down.
Two doors down from where we wound up being. I go, someone was murdered here. He's like, no, they're fixing the room.
I was like, someone crashed in or something.
He's like, how do you go there? I'm like, I'm telling you, right? So we get our room. We're two doors down from this room that's being whatever. Get to the Subalpine. We're talking to the bartender. I can't remember her name. I can see her face in my head. And she's like, wait, where are you staying? She's like, please tell me you're not staying at the Ocana. Roadway Inn. She said, please tell me. And I was like, why? She goes, because on New Year's Eve, a man brutally murdered his girlfriend there.
He cut her up. And put her in Home Depot buckets.
Oh.
It was awesome. Dude, so
I looked at him. I was like, I told you.
So the next day, eventually it'll come out. We have it on like kind of our like Cliff and Wall type home video. I exit the room and I go down and they had the room open and I was going in and the guy peeks out and he goes, oh no. And shuts the door on me. So the story's amazing. At midnight, they were on the video having a cigarette out front. And by 1 a.m., he had chopped her up and put her in buckets. First off, kudos, because that is efficiency. But they found her scalp behind the hotel on the ground.
No, it was in the hallway, and they thought it was a rag.
Oh, okay.
And they couldn't find her other eye and assume that he might have eaten it.
That's what the bacon is.
Dude, I was like, this is hard. I told him, I was like, never again. You're not allowed to pick hotels. And I knew it. I pulled up. I was like, someone was murdered. But it was crazy.
This sounds like a song that Leprosy might have wrote. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them.
Now we got a song like Murder in Monroeville, man. You have to write a song about it.
We started writing a song.
We were on tour with Offensive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With the band Offensive. And I was like, dude. And when he said, I did what I had to do. I was like, that's the opening line. That's what the guy said. I did what I had to do. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Apparently, he had to cut his girlfriend up and put her into multiple Home Depot buckets.
So I was like, well, there's your opening line. I did what I had to do.
So that's, besides for like a great show at the Subalpine, that's our Subalpine story.
Isn't that crazy?
Yay!
But Josh is amazing, for the record. sweetheart. Love him.
He said you guys played with Divine Tragedy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. At one point, I helped them get a drummer.
Nice.
Their drummer was really good that night. That was a fun show.
Yeah.
Actually, that whole tour was fun. It was cold.
Did they have a female drummer that night?
No.
That wasn't the drummer I helped them get.
their drummer. It's funny because when we play, our drummer Ted plays really nice DW kit, and we usually just let bands use it. And the reason I kind of remember them is they insisted on using their kit.
Oh yeah.
So I was kind of like, all right, cool. But he had a really cool like double bass. It was like a black Lars Ulrich kit. It was really cool.
Cool. He said the other band with you was Altered States, which is another local band. I have not had them on the show. I got to change that.
I can't remember. I'm horrible with that.
There were a lot of
There's so many bands. Like, you know, when you're on tour, it's like so many bands. So. But we appreciate all of them for sure.
Sounds really snobbish, doesn't it? There's so many bands.
No, I can't remember. I'm horrible with stuff like that. Like, if you're like, when are you playing? I'm like, I don't know. Ask him.
Our prep for playing live is like, it's pretty intensive. Just getting ready because it's makeup and costumes and all and lighting and programs and stuff. So it's sometimes we try and check out every band that we play with.
Sometimes it's just not possible. And there's normally somebody representing us. Like our drummer is really good about it. You know, he'll get ready early so that he can watch the other bands, you know, or our guitar player will go or he goes. And I do, like, I try to catch as much as I can. It's like that fine line though, because I'm getting ready and I don't want to be completely ready out in the crowd, you know? So it's like, but I'm there and I'm listening. So normally somebody is representing the band.
I do remember that night though, and the bands were good.
It's funny that your hotel story happened in Monroeville. You know that like the Dawn of the Dead zombie movies and stuff are from Monroeville.
Yes. Dude, it's so crazy.
Someone's missing a good horror flick, man. We're not.
It was scary.
When you guys finish that song, we're going to have to play it on here.
Yeah, definitely. And we have to talk to Leon. We have to
talk to Leon from Offensive.
Offensive.
The song's written. It's just, we've got to get some vocal on it. We've all been so busy.
So the song that we're going to feature from you tonight is Demons. Mm-hmm. This is your MTV storyteller's moment. Tell me a story about that song.
That song is, I feel like it's hopefully very relatable to everybody. You know, everybody's got kind of demons from their past that they've, you know, dealt with or are dealing with. And basically for me and my story, it's kind of about facing them and moving past it, you know, and growing from it.
Very reflective moment in the storyline. Yes.
And it's also very reflective in the storyline. Like Sam is saying, you know, I try to do that with all of our songs, the double entendres, where it fits into the storyline, but it also would stand alone on its own. And this one is a big one for that. There are lines specifically that deal directly with the story, but then the chorus is about you dealing with your demons, you know, and and moving past them. And, you know, that's what I hope that people get from it, that, you know, you can embrace the things that have happened to you and learn from them and grow. And our video for it, I really enjoyed doing the demons video.
Fun. We shot that out in Lebanon, PA, at the place called Scott's Church.
Yeah.
The chorus, that's one of my favorite choruses because it's, you know, all my demons from my past.
Do you hear me now?
You're kind of like going, hey, you know what? I'm still here.
Yep.
And you ain't bringing me down.
Right.
So it's a fun video. Yes. We should all go and enjoy watching it.
Yes. I actually already have it embedded in the show notes. So when this goes live on the website, it'll be there as well.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really, and that was a fun one.
It has our costume mistress.
Yes. My dear best friend, the wolf, Samantha Weissman, is also in that video as well. So she plays a part in that. And we have the younger version of myself. We're playing the mother crone. So there's the three aspects. Yeah, the three goddesses. It's like the three parts of womanhood. You know, the younger, the child, and then the mother, the youth, like, you know, being within the mother phase of life. And mm-hmm. then the wise woman, the older woman. So that's like the mother crone. It goes with the story and, you know, and also with the phases in life and having those demons that go with you. And hopefully you move past and are able to kind of, you know, like he's saying, like, do you hear me now? Like, look where I am now.
It's a really fun song to play live. There's a YouTube video of it from us performing at a Fishhead Cantina. Yes. Actually, it was the very last night of that siren, the first leg of Siren and Demon Store.
Yep.
And somebody captured it. And usually someone films like you live. It's just like a phone. It's easily, I couldn't believe how good it was.
Yeah, that was really good.
I've actually reposted it a couple times. Yeah. And it really emotes the amount of energy you put into the live performance. So mm-hmm. That was a fun night too. Cantina in Halethorpe,
Maryland. No, Baltimore. No, it's Arbutus.
Arbutus?
It's Arbutus, Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah. I think so.
I want Arbutus with you.
Is it Halethorpe? Oh God! Now I'm
going to go with Baltimore because it's right there.
It's right near Baltimore.
And we just played Sonar Fest down there as well, and so it's a great venue and a good time. Also, another great fun place to play. But there's a great live video of that. And also check out, of course, the actual video.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment. We're going to listen to Demons by Illusions of Grandeur. And we will be right back.
Yeah.
And that was Demons by Illusions of Grandeur. CM and Maggie are with me here tonight from the band. And I promised them I was going to ask them the most important question that they've been asked all day since they've been in the studio and doing press for their new, I'm assuming for the new album that you're working on.
The tour of the album.
The tour, yeah.
People just want to talk to us. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so here it is. What is the best pizza you've had because you're a musician?
Because you're a musician?
Yeah, so either at a venue, on your way to the venue, or on your way home from a venue.
Okay, then on the way home. So we just relocated, and I've been looking for that pizza. Because, you know, I mean, I'm sure everybody has their favorite chain pizza, and that's all great and everything, but I like Pizzeria Pizza. I'm Mexican, Italian, Hungarian. I'm like a food person.
I'm going to tell you.
And I found it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. It's La Tusia's Sub Bar in Dover, Pennsylvania. Oh my God. Their Pizzeria Pizza is, it's the bomb. I never, who would have thought, like here.
It is. We get it to the studio here and it is good.
It's so good.
Can I give my answer?
Yeah. Because
my answer is so freaking pretentious that I love it.
Oh God.
The best pizza I've ever had from a gig is in Paris, France, at a place called La Trocadero. It's right off the base of
the Eiffel Tower. You can like see the.
It was so good that at the beginning of the leg of the tour we went, and then at the end we circled the hell back to do it again.
Well, because he goes, he's like, "Where do you want to go to eat?" Like, you know, and you'd think like you're in Paris, like, "Oh, let's go, blah blah blah, like some and eat something." I was like, can we just go back and get that pizza?
But it was called La Trocadero, and I remember that because the Trocadero in Philadelphia is one of my favorite venues, and La Trocadero.
Well, there you go. There's two then. There's one overseas and one yes. right here at home.
And that place, it was the bomb.com.org.gov.
That whole thing that, like, the water makes the crust, like, that's got to be something to do with it. Because that in Paris, I was like, who would think that that'd be where you get, like, the best pizza?
You'd think like, Italy. Not so much.
No. Definitely. I've never been to Italy, so I can't speak for that. But
so there's going, two. You know, September 2023, we're on tour in Italy. So.
And we just had that local pizza not too long ago because we played a show and we came home and there was like a whole huge pizza in the studio. I was like, yeah. So, yeah. You hit my heartstring there.
All right. So Kiss played Underwater to Sharks. Metallica has played at Antarctica. I love that face. They really did. Look it up.
Yeah, no, I remember that. We watched
it.
Yeah.
What's a non-traditional venue that you would like to play at?
You gonna say it again?
Red Rock. That's a traditional venue.
It's a traditional venue.
Yeah.
I would really and it's a question. There are so many amphitheaters.
Yeah, amphitheaters
in Rome and Greece and one of the places we've like and we are in August of 2023, if everything goes to plan, Santorini in Greece. I think it's pretty good.
That's a good one.
I think people will dig it. I think the owls will be good. I think there's some non-traditional venues there. I think the most non-traditional venue we played was in Whitney. And that we played in a
which one?
Pub. On this 2019 tour, we played in this pub that had been there.
Oh yeah,
many hundreds of years before America was formed.
Yeah,
and called the Holly Bush.
Oh, was it Holly Bush or the other one?
No, that was Fat Lil's.
Fat Lil's.
Holly Bush. We played on the 2019 tour before we played the Whitney Festival, and like the fireplace is older than America.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's been there since the 1400s, 1500s. But no, we played this really extremely old pub and the owner commented because it's been in his family for generation of generation. He's like, we decided to stay and have some drinks and we kept them open past midnight. And that was the first time since the 1800s they had been open past midnight.
No wow. joke.
So talk about history. Like we're like, you know, you look at a building, you're like, oh my God, it's like 100 years old. They're like, that's nothing. We got thousands on you. So I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but.
No, I like it. That's cool. Let's see. If, and this isn't a stretch, let's say there's an apocalyptic event that happens.
That pretty much happened, but go ahead. Yeah.
And it wipes out most of the human race. And there's a handful of people left. And it also took all but one song from every band. Which Illusions of Grandeur song should survive and help repopulate the earth?
Help repopulate the earth. If everyone died and there was only one Illusions of Grandeur song, I'm going to go with the first song ever written for the band, Breathe.
Breathe, right?
Because it's the only love song you've ever written or we haven't recorded.
Yeah, I'm not good at love songs. So that's the one we're going to repopulate the earth with?
I don't think Red Sky Morning would do it.
But no, sure. That's the other way.
I like Breathe. I
think okay. Breathe
is, or The Voyage. People like romance, and they want to, you know.
Yeah, I guess I could feel that, yeah.
You know, The Prophet's not going to hit it.
No. And I don't know, The Voyage might be too short.
I don't know. There's a joke in there, too. Breathe.
Breathe. Sure, Breathe. I'll go with that. That's that. That's the first Illusions of Grandeur song ever written. And it is the only love song I've ever written. So, yeah, Breathe.
To date. What I want to know now is something embarrassing that's happened on stage, but you can't tell me something you did. You have to tell me something somebody else in the band did that embarrassed you.
Oh, that embarrassed us.
Actually, that's never happened, but I did watch her try and hand our drummer a bottle of water for about five goddamn minutes.
Oh my God.
While he was trying to get a wire handed to him.
No, he wanted the water. He didn't want the wire.
Oh.
And I'm like, the wire? Backwards. He's like, the water! Like, freaking... That was pretty funny.
Here's an embarrassing moment. Well, it's happened to me, but I won't tell that then.
Wait, so are you saying it had to happen to somebody else, though?
Well, it's more fun if you tell me the CM did something that embarrassed you, but...
Oh, I
There's
got you.
There's a plethora of that.
I got you.
I did have my wireless pack while we were playing at HMAC fall off my back.
In between his legs?
And it was hanging dangling. In between my legs, swinging back and forth with the lighting behind me. So you didn't... It looked like it's pooped out a wireless pack. And our one tech was like... I'm like, what? That was fun. Watching someone try and give you a baby on stage, that was fun.
Yeah. How about the time I couldn't move in the dress?
That was, we were on tour with Dope, and we decided to put her in this very siren
mermaid looking dress.
It's like a quinceañera dress. Yeah. No joke. And it looked amazing.
It looked cool. I just couldn't move.
Unfortunately, she couldn't move. And I don't mean like not a little, at all.
Yeah. That was pretty fun.
There's a lot of fun. Go look up we were on tour with Dope and Motor Grader.
No, that was Dope. That was just Dope. I don't think Motor Grader was on that tour.
There's pictures.
We did play with them, but
it was at Reverb over in Reading.
In Reading.
That was that date of that tour, and Diesel, guitar player from Dope, got quite a laugh out of that.
Yeah, I couldn't move.
Because you look like you're in pain, and you also kind of look like you had...
I think I actually got down on my knees at one point just like to try to make it look good and like pull the dress like so the dress would pop and rip so I could move.
That's funny.
I had boy shorts on, you know, like little booty short things or whatever.
That didn't
No, it didn't
that
work.
That didn't work either. So
that was probably pretty embarrassing for me.
The
wire pack. Yeah.
The wire pack, the water.
The water was funny.
We were playing in a Rock Balava festival in... I don't know. I can never get the town right. Someone wore a dog collar with a chain and threw the chain on stage and wanted her to drag them. It was a very BDSM moment. And you did it for like a minute during the wolf.
The wolf,
It was like the most...
It was awkward.
It was very uncomfortable.
I'm like,
Because they were enjoying it a little too much. So that was fun to watch you go through that.
That was fun to watch you go through
that. That was fun to watch you because I was like, I'm glad they didn't throw that at me. I would have wrapped you on my leg and drug you across the stage.
Right? Oh my God.
So, but they were fun. And then someone trying to give you their baby.
Yeah. And also, it was embarrassing. It was like awkward. I was like, I'm going to like take this kid. And I didn't like take the baby like out of her hands. I just kind of like did one of these and kind of.
That was a little scary. Because
It was scary. It was a huge stage too. It was really high.
About 4,000 people pushing forward. And this woman's got a baby. Now, I don't know. Was she trying to rescue it? I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. That's a like kiss my baby kind of thing. I don't know. I have no idea.
Sure, I'll sign your baby.
Yeah, I'll sign your baby. I'll pull a Ricky Bobby moment.
Don't get me in the signing mode. I'll just keep going. But yeah, there's some, that's like a high brow pass at embarrassing moments.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you ever play a 2-hour concert and really have to take a pee? In the first like hour? I did.
All right. So last two questions. I promised they were going to be easy. One of them, the answer is probably below me in the video right now, but that's, where can people find you online and get a hold of your music?
IRGmusic.com. Yep. Simple. We like, I think everyone does this, but we think we're like reinvented the wheel. I think,
I don't know if I think that, but go ahead.
I think that all roads lead to Rome. Everything goes to IRGmusic.com, but we just joined Bandcamp.
Yeah. We're on Bandcamp finally.
I don't know what the holdup was, but yay, we're on Bandcamp. So go to Bandcamp and buy our album and like help us support and, you know, do the stuff we need to do, because this shit's expensive.
Yeah.
And lastly, what do you have coming up besides recording the new album?
very currently this Saturday we're at the Dobbs on South in Philly with Eternal Frequency and
Phased
and
Monument of Memory. And then there's the whole tour.
Yes. Lined up after that.
That literally takes us all the way through August and all of September. And that takes us, we're through all of PA and Delaware, Virginia, Maryland. Mm-hmm. It's still very local. So that's kind of that. And then there'll be some October dates that'll be announced coming probably mid-August. So that's like the current thing. And we're shooting a new video.
Yes.
The details are a little hazy right now. But go watch Demons and go watch the other six videos that are out. What are you doing? Go watch the videos.
And just to reiterate, Demons will be on the show notes on buildascene.com, which means you watch it and then you click watch on YouTube and you can find the other five.
There it is. Yes, yeah. We're there on Vivo and they're also, it was, this might be trivial to most people, but it's kind of like a weird dream of mine. If you went to like our iTunes profile, some people don't use iTunes because, you know, screw Apple. They're going to hunt me down and kill me now. But we have like five or six videos on iTunes. And for me, that was like a really weird realization that like other bands, like big bands like Slipknot and Stitched Apart, and, you know,
In this moment,
have videos on iTunes, and I noticed other bands don't. I was kind of like, "Holy shit!"
We were honored.
It was kind of like it was like being, I'm happy to be nominated.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, it's an honor, because that's, you know, it's kind of a big moment, at least for us. I would say
it was really cool.
Yeah, man. That's really neat to kind of see that, like, you're
happy surprise.
Yeah, and you're being like recognized with bigger bands. You know, it's like kind of a.
And a big shout out to Revulsion of Spirit Records.
Yes.
And Universal Music.
And Universal Music. Yeah.
Yeah, they just stepped up and kind of like supported a little band from New York.
Yep.
So, yay.
Happened to you. You talk about being excited, being added to Apple like that. I still remember when I got my podcast first got iTunes, was the very first.
Right?
One that big one that added me. And now I'm on Spotify. I'm on iHeartRadio, I'm on, you know, I'm everywhere, but the iTunes was a big step.
Did you outlived Joe Rogan?
Listen, my very first show was in 2004. Talk to me when he's at this many years.
Nice.
I love it.
That's awesome.
He's much more well known than I am, but I have more years in.
I'm not gonna lie, you are way more controversial. I did internet radio from 2007 to 2015, and it was kind of like, it's not easy. And you're doing like podcasts. I only did a couple videos, video casts, but it's not an easy gig. So kudos to you.
Videos didn't start until the pandemic happened, because they shut my school down. So the hour that I drove to school and the hour I drove home, I now had two extra hours in the day. So I taught myself how to do this part of it.
Oh, you want to
hear
awesome.
Something funny?
Sure.
We had, on our first record, we only made two or three videos. Yeah. We made a bunch of lyric videos. Mm-hmm. But the pandemic happened and it shut us down, and we're a road band. We tour. That's what we do. And when the pandemic happened and we couldn't tour, we had to kind of grow like a new appendage, which was doing videos. So we've learned to edit and film and make our own videos. And that's where these six videos from this album have come from, and we've decided we're going to do a video for every song.
Every song. Yep.
So we learned like how to direct and edit and work on our videos, and it's been really cool. It's been educational. So I think some good things came out of the pandemic, not like a lot of people dying. That was bad, but you know, we learned new things.
Yes,
for sure. And I taught science from my kitchen.
That's awesome. Very cool.
That's where you should teach it from, though, because cooking is a science.
Right?
I want to thank you for hanging out with me tonight.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having us.
And it was very gracious of you. I'm sorry. I'm getting messages about programming. And just because we were late because we were doing a lot of press. So thank you very much for, like, being very cool about, like, just letting us come on when we got finished. I appreciate it.
No problem. So this has been episode number 626 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. You can find us each and every Friday starting at buildingscene.com. And then all those stations I mentioned at the beginning of the show all air it on various days at various times that I don't have memorized. So you have to go to buildingscene.com to check that out. And I did mention that there's a new one coming. Once I have that information, I will get that out there as well. What you're going to hear next is some more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Then you hear John, the American Hilljack Lane, tell you how to subscribe, leave comments, and so on. And when that happens, you'll know that you are at the end of the show. And when that happens, that doesn't mean that you should log out of all those different stations you're listening on. Check them out. Stay there. You're going to hear some more best of the best unsigned music from all over the world. And who knows, you may find your new favorite band. My name has been Bill, and I will catch you next time. Taking away all I left behind. And I'll be here and you will remember. We'll be right back.
I am not enough.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.